In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this, The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, July 23rd, AD 2025. This is The World View in 5 minutes, written by Jonathan Clark and myself, and heard on 140 radio stations and at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Syrian Muslims took the life of a pastor and 20 members of his family over the weekend. Khalid Mezer was the pastor of the Good Shepherd Evangelical Church in southern Syria. He and his family converted to Christianity years ago out of a religious group in the area known as the Druze. Violence between Druze militias and fighters from the Bedouin tribes, which are mostly Muslim, has taken the lives of hundreds of people over the last week. Evangelical leader Johnny Moore wrote on X, quote, "Pastor Khalid died for a faith that many Christians hardly live. They are now martyrs who gave their entire lives in difficult circumstances to share the love of Jesus with their neighbors and beloved Syria," end quote. In Matthew 16, verse 25, Jesus said, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Puerto Rico is protecting children from transsexual drugs and surgeries. Last Wednesday, Republican Governor Jennifer Colon signed the law for the protection of the health and well-being of minors in Puerto Rico. Harming children with such transsexual procedures is punishable now by 15 years in prison. Puerto Rico joins nearly 30 states in America with similar bans. President Donald Trump secured a great deal with Japan, reports the Epoch Times. On Truth Social, President Trump announced, quote, "We just completed a massive deal with Japan, perhaps the largest deal ever made. Japan will invest, at my direction, $550 billion into the United States, which will receive 90% of the profits. This deal will create hundreds of thousands of jobs. There has never been anything like it. Perhaps most importantly, Japan will open their country to trade, including cars and trucks, rice and certain other agricultural products. Japan will pay reciprocal tariffs to the United States of 15%, end quote. President Trump recently reached a $16 million settlement with Paramount, the parent of CBS News, over what he claimed was misleading editing of a pre-election interview with the Democratic candidate for president, Kamala Harris, reports The Guardian. While CBS initially called the lawsuit, quote, "completely without merit," end quote, Paramount is in the midst of an $8 billion sale to the Hollywood studio Skydance Media, which requires the approval of federal regulators. President Trump has claimed that the future owner of CBS will provide him with $20 million worth of advertising and programming days after the network canceled The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. On Truth Social, Trump wrote, quote, "We have just achieved a big and important win in our historic lawsuit against 60 Minutes, CBS, and Paramount. CBS and its corporate owners knew that they defrauded the American people and were desperate to settle. Paramount, CBS, 60 Minutes have today paid $16 million in settlement, and we also anticipate receiving $20 million more from the new owners in advertising, PSAs, or similar programming for a total of over $36 million, end quote. He added, quote, "This is another in a long line of victories over the fake news media, who we are holding to account for their widespread fraud and deceit. The Wall Street Journal, the failing New York Times, the Washington Post, MSDNC, CNN, and all other mainstream media liars are on notice that the days of them being allowed to deceive the American people are over," end quote. A report by the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond found that the U.S. federal workforce has shrunk by over 22,000 people from January to May of this year. Chuck Ezel, the acting director of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, said, quote, "The American people deserve a government that is lean, efficient, and focused on core priorities. This data marks the first measurable step toward President Trump's vision of a disciplined, accountable federal workforce, and it's only the beginning," end quote. Trump has also extended his hiring freeze on federal workers through October. The National Association of Realtors reports that foreign buyers purchased $56 billion worth of U.S. homes from April 2024 through March 2025. The number of home purchases by foreign buyers rose to over 78,000 this year. That's up from last year's report, but still down from 284,000 purchases in 2017. The top destination states for foreign buyers include Florida, California, Texas, and New York. The most popular origin countries of international buyers are China, Canada, Mexico, India, and the United Kingdom. China's share of buyers has gone up significantly since 2007. Malcolm Jamal Warner, who portrayed the teenage son Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show, died at 54 in an accidental drowning in Costa Rica, reports the Associated Press. Costa Rica's Judicial Investigation Department said Warner drowned Sunday afternoon, July 20th, on a beach on Costa Rica's Limon province when a current pulled him deeper into the ocean. His character, Theo, was the only son among four daughters in the household of Cosby's Cliff Huxtable and Felicia Rashad's Claire Huxtable on the NBC sitcom. He was one of the prime representations of American teenage life and black boyhood on a show that was the most popular in America for much of its run from 1984 to 1992. And finally, Scottie Scheffler won the Open Championship earlier this week. Also known as the British Open, it's the oldest golf tournament in the world. The American professional golfer has won 20 times worldwide since 2022. After his latest victory, Scheffler told reporters he enjoys golf, but that faith and family are his greatest priorities.
I would say my greatest priorities are my faith and my family. You know, those come first for me. Golf is third in that. I've said it for a long time. Golf is not how I identify myself. I don't identify myself by winning tournaments, chasing trophies, being famous or whatever it is. This week, I was the best player in the world. I'm sitting here with the trophy. We're going to start all over in Memphis, you know, back to even par. The show goes on. I don't feel any different because I've won a golf tournament. This is not the be-all, end-all for me, but I'm extremely grateful for it. I don't think that I'm anything special just because, you know, some weeks I'm better at shooting a lower score than other guys are.
Scheffler's love for family inspired a Nike ad that celebrates fatherhood. The footwear company posted a picture of Scheffler on the golf course with his infant son. Nike wrote, quote, "Priorities unchanged, another major secured. The wins keep coming on and off the course for Scottie Scheffler," end quote. And that's The Worldview on this Wednesday, July 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2025. Follow us on X or subscribe for free by Spotify, Amazon Music, or by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. Plus, you can get the Generations app through Google Play or the App Store. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, and Joshua Schwiso with me on this edition. He is our resident theologian and production director for our product that we produce as part of the Generations curriculum. So welcome, Josh. Mm-hmm. It's good to have you, Kevin, here today. And this is our segment called What Does the Bible Say About That? Now, if you have a question about what the Bible says about anything, just write it in to mail@generations.org so that we can address it. And be sure you stay away from the controversial questions, though. Although this is the controversial question of the day.
Exactly.
Not like we haven't dealt with controversial questions before. I'm just kidding. Of course, any question. I believe the Word of God does tie into these questions. And so as best as we can, we're going to present what the Word says about these critical issues of the day, including this question from Myong. And he asks the question, should we be actively seeking to protect Israel for the Jewish people if they are not under the new covenant? Okay, well, that's probably one of the most controversial questions you can ask within the Christian church today. Now, not so much with our dispensational friends who really have established this as a core principle of their theology. But what one of the things you have to do before getting into any of these questions is to distinguish between what I call trunk and leaves. I bring this out in my book, Worldview, What We Believe, What They Believe, and Why They're Wrong. I present a basic Christian theology against the humanism and all of the aberrant religions of the day in my book, Worldview. But one of the important points I like to make on the outset of any discussion, especially the controversial questions that seem to divide the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is this: are we distinguishing between the trunk and the leaves? Now, Jesus refers to these as the camels and gnats. You know, the Pharisees were excellent at straining at gnats, swallowing camels. We don't want to be that. But basically, we're talking about the major trunk issues and the leafy issues. So what are the substantial issues? What are the things to believe in the most foundational sense? So your choices of trunk versus leaves in your theological discussions are very critical. They're certainly critical for whether you are a Christian or not, number one. And number two, whether you are a mature Christian or not. If you choose the wrong issues and make them the majors, then you are straining at gnats and perhaps even swallowing camels. And we certainly don't want to do anything like that. Also, the Word of God warns us about arguing about quarrelsome issues, getting involved in the questionable things, things that do not yield to more godliness. And so we have to be very, very careful, especially as leaders, teachers, elders, and pastors in the church, that we don't give way to those divisive issues that yield quarrelsomeness within the context of the evangelical or Orthodox church. Now, here are some of the trunk issues that I believe are essential. Number one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead on the third day. He sits on the right hand of the Father, and he rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is ruler over the nations in the present tense, per Revelation chapter 1. So that's critical to believe that first and foremost. Mm-hmm. You agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, it brings us back to the earliest confessions that Christians have made. You think of the Apostles' Creed, right? It has all those elements. He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
And every person who gets saved, whether Jew or Gentile, must repent of their sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and bow the knee to mm-hmm. Jesus.
And that goes back to Jesus' words. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him.
That's right. Exactly. And Jesus Christ is head of the church. The church. Jesus Christ is head of the church.
And specifically,
that's pretty critical.
Over all things to the church, as Ephesians sure. says. So he's head and Lord of all things, but unto the benefit of, we would say, to the church, mm-hmm. right?
And these are measures. Mm-hmm. These yes. are trunk issues. So whenever you're having a discussion with somebody who you might disagree on something like Israel, always go back to the foundational trunk issues and say, you know, we believe these things. And your friend will say, amen and hallelujah. He'll give you a big hug, and you'll realize that you are one in Christ
yeah.
together.
And it's very encouraging, Kevin,
to
go that route, because you realize we're closer on the core issues than perhaps we thought. And now we can go to these other issues and perhaps work through them in a hopefully a loving, gracious
right.
manner.
And the church, or what Jesus Christ has come to save, is Jew and Gentile, and he will save of every tribe and nation,
yes.
including of the Jews.
Right, and I think of Galatians 3, where Paul brings up that we are children of God by faith. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And then he brings up Abraham, too. He says, and if you be Christ, then ye be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that one body component of inheriting these promises together.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so that's first, and we wanted to start with the trunk issues, okay, where everybody listening who's an evangelical Orthodox Christian can say, amen and hallelujah. We are with you, brothers. But then secondly, I think we need to talk about another ditch, and that is the rising tide of anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And it is happening. Now, it's not a majority of believers, of evangelicals, but it does appear that we are living in an era in which there is a rising tide of anti-Semitism, which you would define to be what?
I guess most broadly, a hatred of or contempt for the Jewish people. That might be one way of getting at it. Sometimes, mm-hmm. of course, there's going to be more intellectual explanations for the problems of the mm-hmm. Jews and
right.
how they've done this or that in history.
And I would say that, yes, there has been a tendency amongst certain segments, and they are fairly minor segments, of the Christian church, at least over the last 200 years, that that they want to blame the problems of the world upon the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wrote a book called Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Now, it turns out that the apostates, that is those who at one time, at least in previous generations, there was some subscription to the Christian faith. There was a participation in the Christian church. There was a connection with the truth of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they turn away from it and become what I call the Nephilim. And so I believe, and I recommend this book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. It is true that there are those who turn away from the true faith, who turn out to be pretty aggressively opposed to the true Christian faith, and they do a tremendous amount of damage upon the world. But that, according to my book, is not the Jews. The blame sits at the feet of the European Gentile world that has turned away from Jesus. This is the most obvious fact that I think everybody should understand, and be sure to get a copy of my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to hear about what I would consider to be a demonic conspiracy, yes, of people like Charles Darwin, who had a history of being involved in the Christian church over previous generations. And as well, Karl Marx, Friedrich Nietzsche, who is, I mean, these are massive, powerful philosophers of the modern age that have destroyed the civilization that we used to call the West. And I believe their ideas are just toxic. They're horrible. I deal with them. They have influenced every aspect of human society, especially in the Western world. They have done their damage. Well, I think of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who was the son of a, or grandson, I believe, of a Calvinist pastor. Think of Jean-Paul Sartre, probably the most influential existentialist philosopher of the modern age. And he is the progeny of, I think, sixth generation of Protestant pastors in France.
Because there's so much Christian heritage in Europe that all these men came out of, right?
It's horrendous.
It's horrendous.
Or yeah. John Maynard Keynes, perhaps the most influential economist. Yes, obviously the most influential economist in the modern age.
Right.
No all question at all.
Economic systems are built on his
they're
ideas.
They're all Keynesian.
Yeah.
But he is one of the most horrendous pedophile homosexuals in the history of the world. And yes, raised, or his mother was raised, in John Bunyan's manse.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
What does that tell
all
you?
All things and
because
all historical
his grandfather was a Baptist pastor. Okay.
Right.
So, friends, wow, you need to read The True Conspiracy of What Destroyed the Western World, What Is Destroying the Entire World. And yes, it tends to be apostates. But to blame the problems of the world upon the Jews is a huge mistake. Yes, apostates tend to lead the modern destruction of the modern world, and it's largely the philosophers were largely those raised in the Western Protestant or Catholic Christian tradition. Okay, so that's number one. And do understand also that the problem with the world is the human heart. I mean, come on. Just blaming it on a certain ethnic group mm-hmm. is ridiculous.
And that's
it's
a common
easy,
trap.
It's handy.
Yes.
It's the shortcut. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do it. And I think there is lurking in the hearts of men a tendency to want to hate people for their ethnic background. You know, that kind of thing has happened, yeah. I mean, from day one.
And that's
this
why
is
the church
natural man does.
It's such a radical thing that God has done is to unite these disparate ethnic groups
yes.
and make them one body
hallelujah.
And loving one another. It's
amen
amazing.
And hallelujah.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, you know, and praise God, I believe that the Jews are increasingly coming into saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an eschatological development that I believe is a fulfillment of Romans 11. So, I mean, that's my position. Now, there are
yes.
some who may disagree with me on this, and we may be in a little bit of a branchy, leafy position at this point. But I think in terms of history, read my book, Taking the World for Jesus. I have a whole section on the Jews in which we find that there is a progressive coming in. Now, it starts with Zinzendorf, okay? The Moravians were the first of the modern missionary movement mm-hmm. to take the gospel around the world. The phenomenal story. I dedicate almost a full chapter to the Moravian brethren who helped to take the world for Jesus. But the Jews played a part. I mean, the Jews were on Zinzendorf's heart. And sure enough, believe it or not, he had one convert. And I've got evidence that this at least one convert developed in the 1730s. Okay, now it took another 100 years. Now, this is kind of this exponential line that just kind of goes slow.
It gets a lot bigger.
It gets started at the beginning. It's a long runway to get the 747 off the tarmac. But praise God, by the time you get to the 1820s and 1830s, think of Robert Murray Machine and Andrew Bonar.
That's right. They had a heart for the Jewish people. They went to Israel.
Phenomenal.
As a missions trip, desiring to spread the gospel.
And if there are Christian evangelicals out there that are big on the Jews, like, yeah, good stuff, but they've never read the entire memoir of Andrew Bonar and Robert Murray Machane and their work with the Jews, man, where have you been? What are you doing with your life? I summarize that, of course, in Taking the World for Jesus as well. But you've got to get through that whole memoir. And they work their way up from Alexandria, and they got on camels, and they get up into Jerusalem, and then on into Eastern Europe. Wow, what a story. You've got to get the story of the first outreaches to the Jews. And yet from that point on, it's Jews for Jesus. It's wow. It's just that we have people of Jewish ethnic background in our church. Probably every church, every godly church, biblical church in America probably has some contact with Jews who are coming to know Jesus. Yeah. Praise God.
Praise God for that. Yeah. And I think, Kevin, of Romans 11, there's actually in our Protestant heritage a common interpretation that, I mean, there's differing views on Romans 11, but a lot of the Puritans really believe that it was prophesying a future conversion of the Jews in great measure.
And a warning to the Gentiles.
And a warning to the Gentiles to not be proud.
And this is exactly, I believe this is eschatologically what I'm trying to deal with in epoch, apostate. I'm dealing with the breakdown of an entire Western civilization. It's the Gentile world that has got proud. I mean, let's face it, the Gentile world, America is probably the proudest nation on earth.
Mm-hmm. Biggest,
sadly,
strongest,
The white
richest,
Europeans turn into these proud jerks.
Yeah.
And Paul didn't they, for the most part? I mean, there's humility, and the faith was sustained by the John Newtons of the world. You know, I mean, yeah, along the way, we had a few revivals and awakenings. But wow, the pride of European Gentiles. Terrible, 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 terrible.
And Paul warns in Romans 11 that if the Gentiles get proud, they can be cut off. He says, you've been grafted in, but you can be ripped off.
Here it is. I'm going to read it for you. Let me read it for you. Paul says, you Gentiles will say the branches were broken off, that is the Jews were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of the unbelief, they were broken off and you stand by faith. But do not be haughty. Don't be proud. Don't get puffed up. But fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either, which is exactly what's happened to European Gentiles and North American Gentiles in the last 200 years. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. They're turning their church buildings over into museums. I've been there. I've been into England. Yeah. It's disgusting what's happened. And, of course, the Muslims are taking over, et cetera, et cetera. They got haughty. God did not spare them. God broke them off. And then it says, now consider the goodness and severity of God. So we see both the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you Gentiles also will be cut off. And they also, that is the Jews, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted back in. For God is able to graft them back in again, which is exactly what's happening. God, of course, is still concerned for the Jews. Listen to this. You read down further in Romans 11, you find concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. So there is something of a belovedness about the Jews who are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I don't think there's any way to get around that.
No, and God's electing purposes that he is going to call his chosen people among the Jewish peoples.
So it's interesting, and I said this off air, but I wanted to share this because I think this is the irony of this whole thing. The apostasy of the Gentile European world, now almost thoroughly going, it's paved the way for the reception of the Jews again, which means that the last were first, that is, the Gentiles were first. The first were last, the Jews were last. But now the last, the Jews, that used to be the first, became the last again, or becoming the last again, and now may turn back into the first, which is happening. It seems to be a profound insult to the anti-Semitic crowd. I mean, they're not going to appreciate that very much.
Right.
We were the first. You know, we became the first. We were the last, but we became the first. But now we got all proud, so now we're back in the last in line, and the others are coming back into the first.
Yeah, the principle, Kevin, of the first, last, last, first dynamic that Jesus talks about is be humble and receiving the grace of God. Yeah. That's you do not have anything you deserve. Yeah. Don't get all haughty.
If you happen to be moved for the first of the line,
you're going to get tossed to the last again.
You'll get tossed to the last, and then you get proud about being moved to the first in the line. So, yeah, that principle applies all the way through the history of the Christian faith, my friends. Now, of course, the big disagreement is concerning the modern state. Yes. Now, what to say about the modern state of Israel? Well, number one, I think most everybody could agree that the modern state of Israel is not to be associated directly with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's not equal to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would guess most everybody would agree with that. Also, this is essential, that the secular state and every ruler, ergo Psalm 2, must bow the knee to Jesus, the judges of the earth, the rulers of the earth. They all must kiss the Son. They must kiss the Lord Jesus Christ, lest they perish from the way, if his anger is kindled but a little.
It applies as
much to Israel as it does to Russia, China, the U.S., You agree with that too.
So the Knesset in Jerusalem, the parliament, they need to submit to Jesus just as much as our Congress in the United States needs to say Jesus is Lord overall.
That's right. And so the national or United Nations as well needs to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sadly, Israel is still somewhat of a secular state. And I run into religious Jews and they say, yeah, it's a secular state. And they're not all that happy with it. I mean, there's obviously disagreements even among the Jews as to whatever this modern secular state of Israel is.
There's some defense of the Jewish people,
perhaps. Yeah, and their lives are being saved, and people aren't killing them, and the anti-Semites aren't getting an opportunity to wipe them out. I mean, praise God for these sorts of things, yes.
Right. Yes,
absolutely.
But they're not sensing that, okay, this is a great God-honoring state from a Jewish perspective.
At this point, they're very much following the footsteps of the United States, sadly.
Yeah.
I'm not a big proponent of exporting this horrible humanist secularism, pro-homosexual stuff in every public sphere. Israel tends to allow a fair amount of that into the public sphere. I don't think Netanyahu is that excited about it, but it is still something of a secular state, and that's not good. So even the nation of Israel needs to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledge him as their king and their Lord. And here's number two, and I just throw some of these principles out because I do think we should be able to agree on these. Now, I think the Jews should agree on this one. The Jews, the Muslims, everybody, all political states should be subject to the same laws of warfare found in Deuteronomy 20. And again, I think the Jews should recognize Deuteronomy 20 and say, yes, amen.
Right.
Those principles on warfare
and
national defense needs to apply to ourselves as well as to every other nation in the world today. So, and we can go over those separately, but there they are, the Deuteronomy 20 principles of warfare.
But Kevin, that would mean, as we hear about these news reports, obviously, on one hand, we can say our data is limited, so it's hard to make judgments from afar. Nevertheless, we should be thinking, the state of Israel can't just do whatever it wants just because it's the state of Israel. They have to observe these principles of warfare.
They must submit themselves to the laws of God found in the Mosaic Law as much as the rest of us. Okay, now, thirdly, and I already said this, praise God for Jews for Jesus, who've been active in Israel and elsewhere. And then also, people say, yeah, but the land. So they keep coming back to the land. And okay, let's talk about the land for a moment. I believe that the meek will inherit the earth.
Yes, we can agree on that.
So I want to talk a little bit beyond the 8,000 square miles of this little sliver of land over on the eastern side of the Mediterranean. I want to say this. I want to say that the meek will inherit the earth, and Israel, the land of Israel today, is only 0.004% of the land mass of the world, and so we have a ways to go.
That's right.
It's got to be the whole world.
That's right.
The whole world for Jesus.
Yes, and
can we get beyond the 0.004%? Now, a lot of people are coming back saying, yeah, but we haven't made much progress here. Jesus will make progress one way or the other.
That's right. He's going to, every nation will come. And of course, Romans 4, you remember how Paul highlights that Abraham is heir of the world. He broadens the scope that Abraham, the promises to Abraham were broader than the sliver of land.
It's going to make the whole world. Mm-hmm. And how that happens, I realize we have differing eschatologies, and we're not going to get in the leaves right now. Now, there are going to be people upset with what we said, because we've not said enough. I think that's a big part. But a lot of people are going to say, amen to that, and amen to this. And they're going to agree with a great deal of what we have said in this program. We haven't answered every issue, and for several reasons. One is we don't have that much time.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which
that's,
is an
that's
easy
a limitation.
Opt out, right?
We can come back to
but,
it, though.
But secondly, we're trying to stay on trunk as best as we can without getting into tertiary issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that many of us have opinions, and we're like, yeah, but here, you know, I got to slip this in as well. We want to stick to trunk as best as we possibly can, because without that discipline, we're going to be in a heap of trouble in terms of the unity of the church and in terms of the solidity of the faith itself. Because what happens when your entire faith is bound up in secondary and tertiary issues and you've let go of the primaries? Mm-hmm. That's another way in which conservatives tend to apostatize from the Christian faith. They let go of the trunk because they were so committed to the secondary and tertiary issues. And that's a huge problem in the church today.
And you can get very much off mission in terms of what Jesus has called us to do. Even as we think about Israel,
sure.
Is what is the priority for Christians as we look at Israel?
Evangelism.
What do we want to
evangelism,
right? We want the missions work to take place most fundamentally, because mm-hmm. we want the Jewish people that mm-hmm. do not yet believe to be
Amen.
Saved.
Amen. And that's a good place to stop. Friends, I recommend to you the full history of 2,000 years of world history from a distinctively Christian, biblical perspective. It's called Taking the World for Jesus, and also Apostate the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to get a better idea of the tremendous conspiracy that has taken apart the Western world. And of course, there's also Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Today, it's been Joshua Schwiso and myself, Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.